Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together, in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the West.
And I'm George Whittam in the East.
Boy, it brings back all sorts of memories. But this is VoiceOver Body Shop, or VO.
BS.
All right. Especially tonight. All right, because we got lots of friends with us tonight on the show. Our first VOBS fan roundtable. And this is a unique one because, George, you're back in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I love adding layers of challenge to the show production, and this is definitely a layer of challenge doing this remotely. So just to quickly summarize, I'm in Pennsylvania. Dan's back in the studio. I'm Zooming in with all the other fans. And I'm switching the show and running the show production-wise, or technical directing it, from out here remotely. It's a lot of fun.
Tell me about it.
It's also a lot of fun when there's a web browser tab opening playing the show that's hidden behind another window. You can't find it, and it won't go away.
I know.
It's just hilarious.
I know.
Great fun.
Well, here's how it's going to work tonight. First off, we have to thank our sponsors because, you know, without them, we couldn't do the show, of course. Harlan Hogan at VoiceOver Extra and VoiceOverEssentials.com, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studios, your employer, and also Source Elements, and, oh, yeah, I can't hear you.
Did you say Rehearsal Lab?
I was about to say David H. Lawrence, the 17th's Rehearsal App.
That's right.
Okay.
Rehearsaltheapp.com.
This is correct. All right. Well, we have a bunch of people. We, of course, sent out the notice. If you didn't get a notice, you're not reading your email at all, that we're doing a fan roundtable. And we told people that if you wanted to be here, it was clear as day, write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. Those that read the instructions and actually, you know, paid attention, they get to be guests on our show tonight.
Yay. And that's a nice group of people here tonight.
Yeah, so why don't we go around the horn and see who's here? So
let's do that.
Yeah, because I can't really see the whole horn here. So I'm going to let you cue people here.
You got it. Well, let's start with up in our upper left-hand corner, actually upper right-hand corner, we have Bill Mills, or W.K. Mills, as he's known here. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you? It's Bill Graff.
Bill Graff.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, yes. The Mills thing is part of a Google name.
Okay, gotcha. We won't ask. Where are you hailing from, Bill?
Williamsville, New York.
Oh, Williamsville, New York. How come I never run into you in Wegmans? I don't get that one.
I just warmed up my Wegmans $7 meal. Formerly $6 meal.
Yes, it's well. They give you a little bit more, you know, one extra side.
Not really.
No, they don't do that. Okay. All right. We'll be with you in just a little bit, Bill. Thanks for chiming in. Who's next, George?
Great.
Coming next around the wheel, we've got Howard Ellison, whose audio may or may not be working. Let's check and take a listen and see if Howard's there.
Unmute.
He's trying. We do know that Howard's in England. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Maybe it just
Larry
takes a long time for it to get over.
Laughing hysterically and clapping like a monkey. Howard? No, we have no audio from Howard.
Eventually he'll figure it out.
We'll have to help you out with that sometime. But he's going to enjoy the chat room at least and be in the show. Then we have in the center square, we have Larry Hudson.
Hello, gentlemen.
Lawrence,
from beautiful Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, beautiful, but cloudy today.
Cloudy today, and we'll take it. Any rain we can get, we'll take.
Yeah, see, I told everybody I was bringing rain with me.
And we appreciate it.
So far, you succeeded.
Yes, I have an entire room full of it. Just open up the valve and... All right.
Shelly Avellino's next. Hi, Shelly.
Hi, everyone. How are you from sunny Las Vegas? Although...
Not sunny today.
Cloudy today. Yeah, we've had storms today. Woo-hoo.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Stay out of the washes.
You guys don't know that Shelly is one of our chat room moderators, too, that helps us keep the show going. So thank you, Shelly.
You're welcome.
Next up, we have Marjani.
Hello.
Hello. Where are you from, Marjani?
From Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore. All right.
Yep.
You a lacrosse player?
No, I'm not. I'm not. Okay. All right. Never played. I was a softball player, though.
Oh, okay. All right. That counts.
Yeah.
Thanks all for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Audie. Am I saying it wrong now? It was Audie before?
Audie, yeah.
There we go. Sorry.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And you're from Burbank, right? Or Glendale? Where are you hiding from?
Los Angeles. But yeah, Northeast LA.
Okay, cool. All right. Great to see you on here.
Represent.
Yeah.
From that also, that quadrant of the world, Rebecca Davis.
Yeah, Rebecca.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, babe. How you doing?
We're doing good. We got the hard rain right now. Loving it.
All right. See, I told you.
Rebecca can't stick around, but it was nice for you to be able to say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go soon, but hi, everybody.
Hey.
Then we've got a good old friend of the show. We got Ed Waldorf. Where the heck are you, Ed?
There's Ed.
Good evening, ladies and germs. Coming to you from beautiful L.A.
Don't forget.
Lower Alabama.
Yeah, that L.A.
coming from the swamps down here in Alabama.
All right.
Got my beautiful friend's home brewed beer, and I'm just happy as a clam.
Isn't that a mixed metaphor? Oh, okay. But
yeah. And then we have Scott Chambers.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
North Alabama. I'm doing pretty good. North Alabama. About to be Ed's neighbor down on the beach in L.A. Lower Alabama.
That's cool, man. We got a couple Alabamanites.
Right.
Alabamanites?
Alabamians.
Alabamians?
Does that mean we're going to fry up a mess o' catfish tonight?
Roll Tide.
All right. War Eagle.
All right. Let's see if Howard's working here yet.
We'll try Howard again.
Yeah.
He's pantomiming quite effectively, but I have to say we're not hearing him.
Oh, can you hear us, Howard? Just nod.
I'd be happy to do a private Zoom session with Howard so he can figure out where the buttons are.
Why don't you?
That would be very kind.
We appreciate that, Lawrence.
All righty. Well, let's get back to our regular scheduled program.
Yes.
What were we going to do tonight anyway, Dan?
Well, we're doing a fan roundtable. We have all these wonderful people here and people, you know, watching the show live throughout the world. And what we would like tonight from everybody is, one, if you've got a technical question or a question about voiceover in general, we can have a group discussion about it. If, you know, it's a sort of like, sort of like voiceover therapy. If somebody wants to chime in with something they want to talk about or a response to a question, feel free. I think that will be a very effective strategy for tonight. So if you have a question or if you want, there's a topic you want to talk about, raise your hand and we will throw you in there. Who wants to go first? Don't all jump up at once.
Do I have to pick?
Yeah, you have to pick because I can't see everybody who's on here right now.
Okay. You can click the gallery button, Dan. It's okay if you want to switch to gallery.
Oh, that would help a whole lot. There we go. All right. Okay. Why don't we start with one of the fresh young faces here? Because we've got Mirjani's up there. Why don't you go first there, kiddo?
Okay. No pressure?
None whatsoever.
This question actually came to me as I was setting up for this. Do you have an appropriate way of storing microphones? I have a Blue Nessie that I got as a gift. I love it. It's actually my first mic ever. I actually have not had to treat my room. So I, like I said, I got it as a gift, so I'm not really sure. I'm sure it is pretty pricey mic, but right now I just store it in the box it came in, which is kind of like, it's not really styrofoam. I guess it is a styrofoam cube. But yeah, what's an appropriate way to store mics when they're not in use?
Well, I'll start with that one. Usually best, there's lots of varying opinions about this. Some, you know, the old ribbon mics they used to store in canvas bags and stuff like that, and they would be carefully stored. You know, if you look around here, you know, mics are just sort of like hanging out. they usually come in a nice, you know, we like to call them a casket. Some of the nicer condenser mics, and they fit right in there. They're form fitted in there. That's usually the best place to keep it. If it came in a box, and the Nessie's that really cool thing from Blue that does all its own processing and stuff.
Yep.
It looks like the Loch Ness Monster. Yeah. If it came in a box, don't throw out the packaging with that, and you can store it in there. Generally, though, unless you live in you're living in a construction zone with lots of dust, probably best to just keep it in the box or just leave it out where you work with it, unless you're always taking it up and setting it and putting it back together again. George?
Got it.
Yeah. My dad, who's sitting right here, he's worked in the music sales for years, and he's seen stuff break and die. And it's actually not a good idea, for example, to seal it inside a plastic bag. Because if you live in a damp area, you're actually trapping moisture inside the bag. So, you know, while it might sound like a good idea to put in a Ziploc bag or something, that's something you don't want to do. But you mainly just want to keep the dust off of it. If you want to put a little sock over it when you're not using it, you can do that. You know, but not a condom, apparently, my dad says.
Okay.
Not that he knows from personal experience. Anyway.
A sock, anything to keep the dust from getting into the microphone. But I'll tell you, generally, they're almost in every studio I've been in, the mics tend to live, unless it's a really busy studio where they're changing mics a lot. The Crown Royal bag, Larry's holding up the Crown Royal bag.
Got it.
But studios that are busy, they tend to just keep them up. It's just if you have a clean studio that doesn't have a lot of dust in it, it's not a big deal. So don't overthink it, but if you want to cover it with something, a cloth or something that just keeps dust from settling, it'll work.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Who's next?
Holding up their socks.
Yes.
Their mic condoms. Thanks for the show and tell, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that was an excellent question, by the way.
So it was.
That's one of the ones that we don't think about that a whole lot.
I know. That's what's great about this because, you know, there's certain things we just sort of stop thinking about after a while, and it reminds us to explore these things.
Yeah. Sometimes I forget to breathe. You know, the wife, like, gives you a kick, says, "You're not breathing!"
Very important.
It is. It is. Who's next? Raise your hand. Shelly?
Shelly Avellino. Go ahead and unmute your mic.
Yay, is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Woo-hoo! Well, I've actually got a question and also an update. I don't know whether you guys are aware, but me and a couple of other guys went to the DevLearn conference this past couple of days in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really, really great conference. And compared to last year, I didn't go to last year, but compared to last year, it was a really positive response. This is a conference where all the, e-learning development companies go. So they can either be platform on the creative side, or the bit where they put everything together. So they can either create or they can do all the design inside. So there's two different parts to it. But it was a really, really good response. We sold Wovo a lot and also voiceover.biz, which went down very, very well. So if anybody wants to go next year, I would definitely recommend it if you do a lot of e-learning. My question was, how do you source your e-learning if you do e-learning? If you go to other conferences, if not, where do you go to get these developers if you don't go to the conferences like this? Just from doing sort of marketing and emailing, even if I hit the developers, they just stay hidden. So if anybody's got any nice golden nuggets about where you find this type of work, bring it on.
Well, I have always found, here's a story, a lovely lady. Now, when I was teaching, somebody once came up to me and said, Mr. Leonard, I have to do a paper on ancient religious icons. How do I get information on that? And I said, type in ancient religious icons.
Yes, Dan, and I typed in e-development learning company.
And what did you get? And what did you get?
A ton, but not enough, and no responses, no luck. There's got to be something I'm missing. Everybody else I've spoken to has the same problem, same issue. They just seem to be hidden. You can find the development companies, but they don't usually come back, or you can't find the right person. So I was wondering whether, I mean, the conference was fantastic, and I got some great contacts, and I think it'll be a really good response, especially with voiceover.biz. Everybody was really interested in that, and Wovo. I just wondered whether there was another avenue that I may not be thinking about.
Maybe somebody in the show tonight. We've got a pretty varied panel. If anybody else has,
anybody have some thoughts on that?
Speak up,
Larry.
Come on, Larry.
Larry.
So, I do a fair amount of e-learning, and every single bit of e-learning that I've done has never gone through a production company. Typically, it's direct to the company. They tend to hold a lot of companies, even maybe some of the smaller ones, not real large. You know, they're holding it closer to the belt. So then I think, you know, the next step is really contacting companies directly. I mean, it's a very cold call. In other words, and what I mean by cold is it can be warm, but man, you may have to navigate a little.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, that's where that work comes from me. Now it's gotten to the point where it's referred. So that's really good. You know,
getting referrals. I think you're right. I think it's now at the point where it is direct contact. And one thing that came out of the DevLearn conference is that more and more people are now going to voiceover actors rather than using, you know, Joe Schmo down the copy room to do the internal e-learning. So that was a really, really positive outcome. So,
Candidly, I see it all the time. There are companies that I've done a bunch of work for, and guess where they're getting new voices from? V or voices. I mean, they're going online. They're big companies, multi-million dollar company, you know, multi-million dollar companies. So, you know, I see lots of e-learning around there too, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right.
And the key is to get them and hold them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Keep them forever.
Cold calling then for me. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh, you've got, you know, you get in nice.
Yeah. Just remember,
thanks, Larry.
Every no is one no closer to a yes.
Yes. So true, Dan. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Shelley. Who's next? Raise your hands here.
And we'll go to a break after this.
Yes, we will. Okay. Bill Graff, you're on. Williamsville, New York, you're on the air.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I sent in a question, and I'll read it. It goes like so. Thanks so much for answering my question last week. Here's a new question. I have Twisted Wave, Adobe Audition, plus Audacity and Logic Pro. I like recording into Twisted Wave, editing in Audacity, and processing in Audition. Am I nuts? And if not, can you recommend a more refined procedure?
Yeah, well, you are in voiceover, so I think you just answered your own question. But, you know, it's one of those things with, you know, why? Well, I guess it would lead to the question, why are you using these different platforms to go through this process?
Well, I'm kind of a newbie to your show. I've only discovered your show, just as I mentioned once before, right after you moved. And you were the first people that I had ever heard mention Twisted Wave. So I got a hold of Twisted Wave and kind of like it for recording. It's very easy to do the recordings. And there are certain features in Audacity, like the ability just to hit a keystroke and you get to hear a couple seconds before the part that you want to, after what you want to cut out. And that seems to be a thing that's very helpful in terms of timing. And then it seems like Audition has a variety of tools for processing that makes some sense to me. But, you know, I'd be happy to do it all in one swell swoop with one piece of software. Or, you know, what's a better breakdown?
Well, usually the best way to record stuff is to record in one particular digital audio workstation. Now, if you have Audition is great. It allows you to record in single track, as does Twisted Wave, as does Audacity. So you can record in any one of them, but you can save yourself a step and just record straight into Audition and use all the editing tools in there. And of course, there are ways to learn how to use that stuff, and that is practice, and ask people who know how to use it. And that will, you know, step up your workflow a little bit. I'll be honest, if I'm doing a long form narration, I generally will use Twisted Wave, and it doesn't have quite the processing stuff that I want for certain things. And I will go use Audition occasionally, but mostly I will record and move along in the same software.
And George, stay in Twisted Wave the whole time.
Yeah. Or Audition or Audacity. Try to keep it to one.
I just find that Audacity is a lot more difficult, at least at this stage. I'm new to it, to splice things out and what have you. It just seems that making cuts are a little bit more tedious. My hands don't work very well, so I'm working on this little pad on the laptop. I have a hard time getting precise. The thing that I love about doing cuts on Twisted Wave, of course, is that the fact that it automatically goes to the zero crossings.
Yeah, it'll do that. Twisted Wave is great for that. George, your thoughts?
Yeah, Twisted Wave is a fantastic editing tool. The Audacity step, I can see why maybe a shortcut combination might feel like it saves time. And if in the end it saves you time doing it that way, then, you know, keep doing it. I mean, use a system that you like. You don't have to do it any one way. It just means that you're jumping from one to the next to the next, and that could slow you down in the long run when you're trying to get a lot of work done, having to jump from app to app. Audition is really powerful, and it can really replace all the other ones pretty easily.
But it's got a higher learning curve.
It's got a higher learning curve, and it isn't quite as simple to edit with Audition. Mm-hmm. I find that Twisted Wave and Audition do complement each other pretty well, and I know Dan uses both, and I use both as well for different reasons. I haven't really found a strong reason to use Audacity, but Audacity is unique in that it's customizable, and it's got a huge user base of people that find out all kinds of crazy tricks that might save time.
So, and it's free.
And it's free. So, you know, in the end, use what you like. You have a system that works, use it, but the first one I'd probably eliminate personally would be Audacity from that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's no degradation in going from a file to a file to a file, is there? From one application to another application. There's no degradation of sound like you used to have with generations of tape.
Right. If you're keeping using WAV files, it usually isn't a problem.
Mm-hmm. Or AIFF?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either one of those. No MP3.
Yeah.
Only ever go to MP3 at the very, very end of the process before you export, or at the export.
And stay at 48 or 41, 44.1, 16-bit.
It depends on what the client wants, but once it's an MP3, I think everything automatically is downgraded to 44.1.
Well, I mean for the original recording.
Oh, whatever the client wants, I just do everything at 44.1, 16-bit. Some people say 24-bit.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for joining us tonight. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll get back to our multitude of guests here on Voice Over Body Shop, our first fan roundtable. And got a question, you know, throw it in the chat room, too. Maybe we'll try to get to that. Anyway, we'll be right back. We have to first do a live spot, though, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We do. Well, speaking of microphones that are hanging around, here is the Harlan Hogan VO1A Signature Series microphone. And it's a great microphone, not only because it's at a great price point, but it's also a great microphone because it's designed specifically for voiceover. And Harlan's done, he's taken a stock model from another company and contracted with them and said, I want it to really be optimized for voiceover. And the company that he did it with did just that and created this wonderful mic. It's called the Harlan Hogan VO1A. The MXL Signature Series model. And you can only get this one place, and that's voiceoveressentials.com, where our friend Harlan Hogan has one of the finer, I think there should be a picture of me while I'm doing this, but click. All right. Get a look at the microphone here. This one here? Which camera were you using here, George? Whatever. All right. Anyway, here it is. All right. This cam right here. Okay. The VO1A, just look at it there. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com. One of the other great things about this mic is that Harlan doesn't something that the other microphone manufacturers don't do. Most of them will give you a shock mount like this one. That's real easy to use. You just sort of squeeze it and the mic just sort of goes in there like that. So you can hang it upside down the way it's supposed to be used. But it also has really good webbing on it. And the webbing is made from a fine webbing material. But here's the other thing that he does. He gives you an extra set. Even though he knows this will probably never wear out, he gives you an extra set of these. So try the VO1A. And just go over to voiceoveressentials.com and check out all the great the stuff that he's got over there. Aside from the microphones and the headphones and all a lot of his signature series stuff, he has a lot of other cool things like books and accessories that will make your voiceover business all that much better because you won't have to worry about that stuff because he has it and then you'll have it. Voiceoveressentials.com. If you go to the bottom of our page here, there is a link to Harlan Hogan's voiceoveressentials.com. Click on that. It'll take you right there. Thanks, Harlan.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that? That is BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
And we're back here on Voice Over Body Shop. I'll bet that hurt a lot, George. All those bees on you.
I just love that one because Uncle Roy helped me put that together. And I figured since we're going to talk about Uncle Roy.
Put on the bees, yeah. So you're back east. You're back visiting your folks in Pennsylvania. And then you get to go to something I've missed the last 2 years. And I am deeply disappointed that I can't get out there this time. One of these years I'm going to get out there for Uncle Roy's barbecue. What are you going to be doing there?
Well, I'm going to be hanging out and having fun with everybody else, but I can't go empty-handed, so I'm going to bring my computer and a webcam, and we're going to hook into the sound system, and we're going to live stream this baby on VOBS.tv. So if you're one of the folks who wanted to be there at the barbecue and just can't be there, and want to be able to see your friends, people singing, having a good time, go over to VOBS.tv on Saturday, and it's going to be, I'm not exactly sure when it fires up, maybe like 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern time, somewhere around there. And hopefully we'll be able to keep it going all night. So tune into VOBS.tv for a little extra fun this Saturday.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. And then when everybody starts getting tired, they go in the house and start singing Broadway songs and stuff.
That might even get streamed too. You never know.
Now I'm really sad I'm not going to be there. Missed my chance to do fun. Music of the night.
Right.
Anyway, all right, let's get back to our guests here and let's see what's on their minds tonight. Might want to throw out there, you know, how you're enjoying the Voiceover Body Shop now that George and I, even though we're not doing it together tonight, we're together. This is actually more what we're used to, is you're far away and I'm far away and stuff. But any thoughts you have on the show, let us know. But who wants to go next here? All right, we'll go with Audie because she's been waiting there. Audie Asmeretti, how are you doing tonight?
I'm not too shabby. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me, guys. I had a couple of questions, but I just wanted to get this one in before I forget it. Off of the back of the last question, we were talking about different DAWs and editing systems, and I was wondering if you guys got to tinker a little bit with the new Pro Tools First, which is a free type of application, and how significant that's going to be for Windows users as well as Mac users, and the collaboration aspect of that specific program.
George, it's yours. I have
actually tried it for the very, very first time actually last week. And here's the deal. Pro Tools First is a, you know, kind of like the drug dealer on the street and gives you the first one free. That's Pro Tools First. It's designed to get you hooked on the software because it is totally free. And the way they make it free is by making it fully functional. And you can absolutely record and edit audio. You can mix sound effects and music. And you can actually do a full production on Pro Tools First. They just cripple it and really, you know, interesting ways. And I don't know all the ways. I can't possibly have gone through. I didn't have the time to go through it option by option. But a couple of the most obvious ones to me, and some of them are deal breakers to me, some of them are not. But one thing that it doesn't do is save to an MP3 directly. So if you need to make MP3s, you need to use other software to do that. Not that big a deal. It's just a pain, you know, but they just did that to cripple it a little bit and make you want to buy Pro Tools regular. Another thing is that it will only record at 44.1 kilohertz. So if you're used to doing stuff for TV or video that's at 48 kilohertz, then it means everything you do has to be sample converted to 48. Not maybe a deal breaker to many, but again, it's just little things like that that they've done. Another thing that's really odd about it is every time you only get to make 3 Pro Tools sessions. So that means that, and everything you do is stored on the Pro Tools Avid cloud. So when you're done with a session, or when you start a new session, you're not actually seeing your Finder. There's no file system, nothing. It's just this little box where you can put a project. And when you're done recording, it actually uploads that to the cloud. So that is definitely a little bit odd. You can export tracks out. You can bounce tracks out into files and keep them, but the sessions are stored in the cloud. So it definitely has some limitations to it. Are you looking at doing production or just using it for recording voiceover?
I'm actually just looking at it to record and do the minor editing on the dry before I send it out. But it seems like every time I buy a piece of equipment nowadays, new software comes with it. So do I go with Cubase? Do I go with Audacity? Do I go with, and I'm a Windows user. I'm not a Mac user. So my options for freeware are a little bit more limited, but what is out there is open source, which is why I went with Windows. You know, six to one, half dozen to another, but Pro Tools is definitely one of those forerunners because it's an industry standard, and it's usually an industry standard for a reason.
Dan, would you like to talk about the industry standard part?
Doesn't bother me! All right, when people say industry standard, we have to ask the question, what industry are you talking about? You know, every time I hear about Pro Tools, now, don't get me wrong, Pro Tools is a great program. It was designed specifically for recording large musical combinations and not necessarily for doing commercial production. And it has a workflow that does that. The people who say it's industry standard are the people who are too lazy to take a single mono track recording and throw it into a Pro Tools file, if that's the kind of thing they use. So they say it's the industry standard and you're listening to me and that's why you should use it. Personally, I think it's a lot of VOBS, if you ask me. There are a bunch of, you know, audiobook publishers who do everything in Pro Tools, and it takes a really sophisticated program like Pro Tools to take the audio that people carefully record and scrunch it into a tiny little ball and make it almost inaudible. And no, I have no attitude about this. If any of you do audiobooks, you know exactly what I mean. You should be able to. VoiceOver is supposed to be single track mono voice tracks. You don't need a nuclear control room to do that. It's simple. That's why we like using even Audacity or Twisted Wave, which is so incredibly simple. It's all ones and zeros, kids. No program is going to make you sound better. It's not the equipment. It's how good you are at being a voice actor and interpreting the copy. No software is going to make you any better.
Yeah, it's a tool at the end of the day. And if you're comfortable with a tool that you feel is going to help you be productive, go for it. But in my experience of teching out and supporting voice actors' home studios for 10 years, it's usually one that gets in the way more than it's helpful. And so that's why we kind of have an attitude about it, just because we feel like it's just not the right tool.
No attitude. There's no attitude here.
No, it's just we just feel like it's the wrong tool for the job. If you're on Windows, Audacity is fantastic. There's a huge, vibrant user base of Audacity out there. The majority probably on Windows. And, it does the job. It does the job. My favorite, though, is Audition. Especially because it is cross-platform, but Audition just has the right combination of productivity features and whatnot. That's my favorite if I'm going to be on a Windows platform.
Same here, but I'm not on a Windows platform, and neither is George. So, Larry, you got something to say?
You have another part to that question, or is there more to add?
Yeah, I just moved to Mac 6 months ago, and I did Audacity for 5 years, kind of became a master of it, figured out every little thing I could. Certainly with the help of these two gentlemen, got some really nice settings to be able to do industry standard. So I did work for Disney on Audacity. It doesn't make any difference. And I've used Audition on both my PC and my Mac and had no problems on either one, on either platform. That's all.
Second part, Shelley?
Audie.
Oh, it was Audie.
Yeah, I just wanted to... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just skip in really quick? I also wanted just to follow up with another quick techie question. I had John McLean from Dog and Pony Studios here recently just to do a little tune-up on my booth. And he mentioned about recording straight to your... I use the Mac. Straight to your Mac Pro. or to an external drive. I record to a FireWire external drive. What are your thoughts on that? I know that a lot of people, before John came here, I knew I should have really been recording to an external drive, but I wasn't. And it actually made a difference to my sound. And I had no idea. What are your thoughts on that, George?
That sounds like puppy cock and boulder dash.
Really?
The only way that recording to an external drive would be better is if there are less problems in terms of glitches, dropouts, distortion, things like that. Because if your internal drive is too slow, if it's too busy and it's hanging up the recording, yeah, recording to a FireWire drive could actually be better in that case.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening with mine. It was just too slow.
Yeah, if you're finding better sound quality, I have no technical reason for you that would explain that. That sounds like a, what do they call it, a psychoacoustical thing?
That's yeah.
You just might think it sounds better, but it doesn't seem likely that's possible.
So it doesn't really make any difference then?
No. It's storing a one and a zero in a specific combination. That's all a drive does.
Okay.
So as long as it's doing it without interruption, you're good.
Yeah.
It's when the drive is interrupted because it's doing other jobs and it can't keep up, then you get the buffer errors and you get the drops in the audio and things like that. So I tend to be really big on recording to the internal drive these days because it's simpler, it's less to worry about, and most internal drives on modern computers are fast enough, especially if you have an SSD. If you're using a MacBook Air or any new Mac and you get the SSD solid state flash drive option, it blows away any FireWire drive in terms of speed. So
really?
Much faster.
Yeah.
But if you're on an older MacBook and your internal drive's getting tired, you know, the FireWire drive might be
Yeah, I got an older Mac, so that's probably what the problem is. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Back to Audie, because she had another question there, and then Shelly jumped in there, but it's okay. Go ahead, Audie.
Go, Shelly.
So my other question was totally unrelated, so it didn't even matter. So okay. I'm glad that Shelly got to ask her question. but my secondary question is more related towards pay scale and the climate and the union possibly going on strike and audiobooks not doing so well for newbies and things like that. So my question, with all that preface, is, as a new person coming into the business, I mean, of course, I'm ready to do a lot of auditions and beat down a lot of doors. And you guys did some episodes with some great roundtables with the pay to play sites and things like that. But really, what should I be charging? Because there are some mindsets where they're just like, get your name out there, do the work for free, do some volunteer stuff. And then there are other people who are saying, don't charge less than $250 for a job because then you put everybody else's name through the mud. So
I wish
that's my question. What do I do?
I wish JS was in here with us on that.
It's not my field, so everybody else has more to contribute here.
Yeah, yeah. I was, you know, JS Gilbert, I see, is in the chat room there because I know he would have a number of things to say about this, especially when it comes to rates. Rates are everything right now. And I think that the way the business is going, I hear people saying that rates are being driven down. I see that there's low stuff, but I'm also seeing a lot of very good paying work out there as well. The fact of the matter is there's more work out there every day than there was the day before. And thing is there also seems to be just as many, you know, more voiceover actors out there as there were before. There's a lot more. It seems to be increasing. So it's like supply and demand seems to be staying about the same. What do you charge? Generally, and I think some of my more experienced cohorts here will probably agree, we generally don't like to talk about how much we charge. It's one of those private little competitive things that it's like, it's sort of like standing up in an office and going, hey, my salary is this much. And because nobody knows exactly, how much the other person is making. So it's important to think about that before you say, well, you should charge this much. the best place to go, you know, if you have, like, say, the voiceover resource guide, for Audio for You for the Los Angeles edition, the SAG-AFTRA rate card is in there. And there are a lot of other places. I know in the worldvoices.org site, worldvo.org, we also have a couple of rate sheets that are in there as well. We don't say, well, that's what we're charging, but those are the standard rates that people should be thinking about. And our good friend Connie Terwilliger always has a great line about that. She goes, ears and eyeballs. You know, when you're looking at a job, how many people are watching it? How many people are listening to it? And how long are they going to be listening to it? And try and fit that into what you're doing. As far as doing stuff for free, that's up to you. Generally, if I do something for free, it's because it's something I believe in and I feel like I'm contributing to whatever it is that they're doing. Student jobs, you know, let other students do those types of things. If you want to be a serious professional voice actor, do what you feel is best. And I'm sure other people might have some other ideas about this. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Howard, I think it's
go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Howard, are you? Can we hear you yet? Still no Howard. Darn. Oh, because I really wanted to hear from him, but so give it in sign language. See if that helps at all. And
type it in the chat room, Howard.
Type it in the chat room. Okay, I hear your mom in there somewhere, George. Does she have an opinion on that? Anyway, all right. Somebody raised their hand. Ranji, you were on. Go ahead. You had a thought. Can anybody hear me?
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah, you.
Oh.
John,
sorry. I didn't hear my name called. Actually, I was going to say it's pretty subjective. I think every freelancer goes through that problem because I freelance copy edit and I had to go through the same thing. It just depends on how much, like you said, how much of your time and effort are you putting into it? You know, how are you being fairly compensated? That's something really nobody can tell you. It's something you have to look at each project and decide ultimately what the best thing it is for you. Same thing with doing stuff for free. You have to see, like, is this really going to be worth it? Like if it's something, like if it's a PSA, I know a lot of voice actors do PSAs for free simply because it's towards a bigger goal. You know, it's the bigger picture thing. But if it's like a friend coming up to you saying, hey, can you do me a favor? This would only take 30 minutes. And 4 hours later, you're sitting here like, why didn't I charge for this? So especially doing something for free, you have to really think about it, you know?
Yeah. I of course have my favorite saying on this is the people who pay the least are the hardest to work for. Never a question about it. It's like, you know, okay, I know you're doing this for free. Can you give me another take of that? No. Thank you. Larry?
Absolutely.
Larry Hudson. Unmute yourself there.
There we go. There we go. Okay. The best thing to do. Always, 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 no embarrassment. What's your budget? You always ask that question. You know, I'm connected to a whole bunch of people because we all work out together, a whole bunch of people. And I can remember people would call and say, listen, I got this job. What do you think? And there was this job and I said, okay, how many words? And he goes, you know, I'm thinking like 250. And when I saw how many words it was, I went, what are you talking about? This is easily a $650 job. Like you start at $650, but before you even quote a price, and I always do this, it's always, well, you know, they have a budget. They have an idea of how much they want to spend. So you ask them what their budget is. And the guy says, you know, because I don't want to blow you out of the water with my number because I'd really love to work with you and I really want to create this ongoing relationship and do more work for you. And the guy said to my friend, yeah, our budget's like $700. And he was going to do it for $250. I said it was worth $650 and he got $700. So that's the question you always want to ask. And I have a really great associate, the French lady that you'll hear on your bumpers, Sylvia. Sylvia always said, and this was, she was around when I first started. She said, I just don't turn my mic on for less than $100. That's what she tells people. And candidly, hey, have I done jobs, little quick three-line IVR for a recurring client for $60? Sure, because I'm going to help them out and I want to keep in the good graces. But bottom line is that's kind of the, you got to figure out for yourself what your time is worth. And trust me, all it takes is one job that you quoted, you know, $400 for that takes you day and a half and you all never do that again. So, you know, you'll find your way, but you ask the question, what's your budget? It's not a bad question to ask because I don't want to blow you out of the water with my price. I know what I normally charge, but I want to make a deal for you. So that's the way most people approach it, I think.
Yeah. Our good friend Bob Sauer always has a good one for that one too. He's like, when you're negotiating with somebody for price, it's saying, what is the best price that we could both come up with where you're feeling you're getting a good deal and I feel I'm being properly compensated for what I do? And that makes a lot of sense too. And Bob's usually a very wise guy when it comes to those types of things. So that's another thing to consider. Howard, I'm going to pray that this is working now. Howard Ellison, is it working yet?
That'd be a no.
I'm going to take that as a no. Oh, well. All right. Well, maybe we should take a break right now and we can talk about some other stuff. So gather your questions. If anybody has in the chat room that has a question they want to throw out and for open for discussion, we can do that as well. And let's talk a little bit about VOBS and your thoughts on the show so far since George and I started doing it together and what your suggestions are for doing the show. We want to make it a little bit more entertaining. Not that it wasn't entertaining before, but we want to take it to a next level and really have some fun with our guests and try and educate you and entertain you at the same time. So if you have any thoughts on that, bring them up. Let's talk about them. All right. Well, I guess I have another live read here, don't I?
Rehearsal the app.
Rehearsal app from our good friend David H. Lawrence, the 17th. So now the copy is over here on this computer, so I can read it here, but it's supposed to be what we call a live read. This camera over here. Eventually, we're going to get tally lights, and I'm going to know exactly what camera I'm going to be on here. So, all right. Well, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I did a play and I couldn't remember my lines. I didn't. It's like, you know, rehearsal's important, but I couldn't remember them. The way to learn your lines is repetition, 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 repetition. And our good friend David H. Lawrence, the 17th, has an app that helps you with this. It's called Rehearsal, the app for actors. And it helps you learn your lines, get off book, and book more work. That's what it's all about. You want to be able to book work. And actually, and I think I've mentioned this before, if you're recording stuff, and you're auditioning and you have time, if you can learn the lines before you actually have to read it, you know, everybody's always saying, you know, make sure you don't sound like you're reading it. Well, if you practice it and memorize it, at least paraphrase it most of the time, it gives you the ability to really approach copy very, very fresh and not actually sound like you're reading it. So memorizing the copy is a big, big help. And it allows you to let your brain be a little bit more creative. So it's been, I hate to use this phrase, but for this particular app, it's been the industry standard for the past 5 years. It's used by professional actors, even on Broadway. I'm betting Billy Crystal and Nathan Lane use this. We'll find out. I guess we'll have to ask them when they're on the show. And it's used in studio films by A-list actors, students, and everywhere in between. Now, Rehearsal App is the only app that lets voiceover talent audition from their iPhones or their iPad or their iTouches. If you can record on your iTouch, this app will work on there, and you can send it in from there and send native MP3 right from the device. Now, one of the ways you can do that, of course, is in your car. We found that's one of the best places to record is in your car. And if you're like, you know, you get a phone call, make sure you pull over first before you do it, and you've got to do an audition. You can actually use the rehearsal app to do that. So, and coming soon, a new rehearsal app. It's time to go pro. So go on over to rehearsal.pro and back their Indiegogo campaign. And if you can't be somehow the copy is just sort of like missing here. Dave, you know, fill us in next time you figure it out. But if you do it now, get the earlier bird special price on their Indiegogo campaign of 50% off. So I think that's what he was saying. Do the Indiegogo campaign, help fund the development of this app, and you'll get it for 50% off if you're an early bird on that. Go get it. Rehearsal app from David H. Lawrence the 17th. Thanks for sponsoring us, Dave. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, David. You're the man. All right, we'll be right back.
Don't go away.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
That good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS. All right. That's your job on that. Be aware when I'm doing that. We're doing our fan roundtable tonight. We have some great guests with us, and they're asking great questions. Any thoughts on the show itself, and any ideas anybody has there on making it more entertaining, more appealing to you? Anybody have any thoughts on that? They're all silent.
It's perfect.
We've done it. Well, good night, everybody.
The show is clearly flawless.
Okay. Audie, you're on.
I think that it would be really beneficial, especially for us new people, to have sort of a spouse roundtable so that they can all vent about us.
Oh, that would be real exciting.
That's actually a full step, 12 step program.
I love that idea. We should sign up right now.
My dad thinks somebody should be doing sign language in one of the shots in Zoom for all the deaf folks who are doing voiceover.
Yeah.
My dad has a really bad sense of humor, if you had to figure that out.
Yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts on the what they'd like to see or how they like it so far?
House roundtable is a really original idea, by the way. I love it.
Yeah.
I've got an idea.
Shelley?
I love that you guys are now together. It gives a completely different dynamic. And it's good that you've had live guests in. That's always good. I do like it when you have more than one guest on, you know, when you stream guests in and a particular topic. I love those probably more than I do anything else. I think we get a lot of stuff talked about. Everybody gets a chance to really, you know, get their teeth on the subject. Those work really, really well. So more of those, please.
Have an audiobook roundtable or
animation. And pick like a topic.
That kind of stuff. Exactly.
Actually, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think also like animation voice actors or anime voice actors. Exactly. I think that'd be pretty cool. A lot of the people that I know that got into voice acting is through anime, like through dubs. So I think a lot of those guys, you know, they have a lot of knowledge to, you know, kick over.
They definitely do. There's some great directors here too. Ed?
One of my favorite shows wasn't exactly a roundtable, but it was the one where you had three coaches on and Dan threw himself on a flaming sword. It was a classic. I mean, I go back and watch that one. I got to give you props, Dan. You were fantastic.
It ripped you apart. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Can we have a link to that one, please?
Having multiple guests with differing opinions are some of your best shows.
Yeah, I guess we call those panel shows instead
of
round tables.
Yeah, that was that's really the only time we've done that, where, you know, we had different coaches on, and that was my idea. All right, how would you do this script? And they basically pulled me to opposite ends of the spectrum. I'm not sure if they were like coordinating the attack or were conspired against me, but that was a lot of fun.
I felt so bad for you.
Don't.
You coached it really well though, Dan. You really did.
Well, I appreciate that.
Send me in the chat room if you remember which episode or if you can find it on YouTube. Post it, the episode number. We'll tell her which one that one is. It was in the last 6 months, though, I think.
It was a while ago. It was like probably 2013, maybe earlier.
Oh, it might have been. Okay.
Yeah. For Johnny?
Hey, yeah. So I had a second question.
Sure.
I just wanted to know, anybody who coached or recorded, have you recorded or coached an actor who had lip or tongue piercings? And like, if so, could you tell through your recording that they had it? Because I it was a question that I had thought about, if tongue and lip piercings are a hindrance in voiceover.
Where's Joel Bernstein when you need him? That's one of those things. You can sound like an African bushman if you're doing like.
Right. That's a good question.
That is.
Man, you're coming out of the right field with some bizarre, from not bizarre, but just new questions.
Thank you.
I don't know about the mouth jewelry issue, the tongue piercing issue.
I need to ask Mara.
I think you would be able to tell more than any. I would think as a voice actor if you have one. Do you have one?
No, I don't. It came about because I want to get Invisalign because I have a crooked teeth problem. And I know sometimes braces can affect the way people talk. And this was what I was first got introduced to VO. And I didn't know if like Invisalign like would, you know, change their speech or anything, because I don't know too many people that have it, and the people that I do, they're not actors. So I just wonder, because I know there are a lot of performers, like vocalists, pop performers, that have like lip or tongue piercings. So I just always wonder, like in voice acting, like if it's a hindrance, like can you hear it, like the metal clicking or anything?
Audie has a input on that.
I do have input, not so much on the acting side, but it does relate to the acting side. As a vocalist, it will change any body modification you make to the shape of your mouth. It will change your enunciation, how you attack certain words. Sometimes you'll get some type of wisping, like a lisp type of effect or an S. You have to watch your high S's, especially when you first get that body modification, whether it's the Invisaligns or a tongue piercing or anything like that. Especially with tongue piercing, that can take up to 8 weeks to heal, and you're on soft foods. You have to avoid dairy because then your mucus will build up, things like that that you have to keep in mind about how it's going to affect not just your speech, but your whole physical ecosystem.
Cool, thanks.
What is your dad taking a picture there, George? What's he doing there?
Yeah, my parents are having a good old time. They want to be on camera as much as possible.
Yeah, they don't get the chance very much. Any other thoughts? Bill Graff.
Yeah, I wanted to go, first off, the show itself is so informative, and it's already so entertaining that I don't know what you can do to improve the entertainment value. It really is wonderful, and it's also very informative. The ideas that have been presented so far as the different panels, et cetera, I think that's a terrific idea, and it'd be nice if there were some more of those. But going back to a little earlier, someone was asking, first off, about Pro Tools. And the one thing you see if you're looking at the YouTubes and this and that about Pro Tools, the one advantage that it seems like we would have would be this punch and roll. Do you have an alternative for punch and roll?
Absolutely.
In either Twisted Wave or Audition?
There are some hacks people have come up with to make a punch and roll type thing work in Twisted Wave and in Audition as well. They don't do it natively as a feature, and they don't work exactly the way punch and roll works in Pro Tools. There is a lesser known DAW or software that is getting to become far more popular in recent years or so, especially in the last year since Pro Tools 12 was announced and going into the cloud and all this stuff. And going into a subscription model, there's one called Reaper.
Reaper.fm
is the website. And it does punch and roll beautifully. And one thing it can do that Pro Tools still cannot do is allow you to do punch and roll without having to wear a headphone. Because with Reaper, you can hear the pre-roll of where you want to pick up from, and then it'll start recording. And the second it starts recording, it mutes the playback.
It mutes it.
So you don't hear yourself coming back through speakers. And so punch and roll with no cans on is a reality with Reaper. So for some voice actors that do books that find that helpful, it's a lifesaver. So that's a really cool thing about Reaper.
But otherwise, the recording, again, like before, would you have to then switch over to something else for editing, et cetera?
You know, those that use Reaper, it's a learning curve. I don't think anything is as quick and easy to edit on as Twisted Wave. Everything.
Yeah.
If I was recording in Reaper, I'd probably still edit and master in Twisted Wave personally.
Okay.
But yes, absolutely. You can surely can edit in Reaper. And with practice, you can probably get pretty good at it, pretty fast at it. It just takes more work.
Yeah. And I wanted to comment on an earlier strain that was going on. We're talking about essentially pro bono work and trying to find vehicles for doing things for free as opposed to scale, et cetera. And, you know, I just today found the website for that world organization, the World Voices Organization, and they've adopted a charity partner, which is essentially, I guess, Reading for the Deaf. Well, that seems like a terrific vehicle for if you have it in you that you want to do some pre-readings, et cetera. It seems like a great option. And I don't know what you all think of LibriVox, but that seems to me to be another one. If you've got to get your voice on something and you're not getting hired, it seems like those seem to be avenues that you can definitely keep working on your voice and working on your craft. I'd like to know your thoughts on those.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. I know Voice Bank was one of them. I know there were a couple of U.S. animation actors who just did a campaign with them. I think it's voicebank.com that you can lend your voice and they use it for people that are handicapped for like the voice activated controls.
Oh, Voice Bank? I didn't know they were doing that.
I think it was. It was Terraplatt and Yuri Lowenthal.
They would know.
They're two U.S. Animation voiceover actors. They do a lot of voiceover. But yeah, I know that they did a campaign recently with them.
Yeah. Great. Hey, Scott, wake up. Down there in the lower right-hand corner. We haven't heard from you in a while. What's up?
I'm a little quiet tonight.
Oh. Yeah.
I actually want to ask a question.
Go for it.
Totally changing the subject, but
I'm in my third full-time year now, and I just recently had something hit me pretty hard, actually. I lost one of my biggest clients. And has anyone dealt with complacency before, where you have just like a, you know, milk and honey type job where the money comes in every week and you're like, hey, it's coming in, and you kind of back off looking for work? Has anyone ever dealt with it?
I think there will be a unanimous nod from just about everybody in the room here that it does happen. I have found, and I'm sure everyone will agree with me, the business is very cyclical. Oh, yeah. You know, it's right. you're either hot or you're not. And just when you think you're down and out, I find that if you just go, look, they've hired me before, just keep doing what you're doing, eventually it'll happen again. As long as you believe in yourself and you're putting yourself out there, eventually the work will come back. Losing a big client sucks. There's no question about it. I've had some big clients and I've lost them over the years. You know, I worked in radio. You work right. in radio, you're going to get fired. It's just the way it is. It's like being an NFL coach. It happens. So what you want to be able to do is, even though you've got a big client, don't get complacent and always look for more work. And what you want to do is you want your clients competing for you. So the more clients you have, the more, you know, the less you have to worry about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it was something really tough for me to even admit, because it sucks. No one wants to lose a client. It really hurts. But yeah, complacency, it'll get you.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned from it, though, is, you know, continue training. Keep working hard. And I've gotten more clients since then.
Well, see,
told you. And the trick is not just to have one big client. Have four big clients or five. Right. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's easy to say, harder to do. But I always try and keep, you know, a handful of big clients as much as I can.
Yeah, that's a good point. This one client accounted for about one third of my yearly income. So yeah, it stinks.
Yeah, that does.
Yeah. The one thing about complacency is, and that's it goes across the spectrum of all business. No business will function on autopilot. And so complacency is probably one of the first things that you have to really strive to avoid in any endeavor, including just skills and techniques.
Yeah. And as freelance actors, as freelance business people, as people who live by what we do, we have to get hired every day, or try to get hired every day. You got to do it every day. Otherwise, you know, you're going to fall behind. Shelley?
And you have to market every day. You never, ever stop marketing. It's the biggest thing in this business. We're businesses. That's what we are first and foremost. And we have to feed that pipeline constantly. Right. If you don't feed that pipeline constantly, then it's going to run out and nothing's going to come out the other end. You know, that's my analogy. You just got to keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding. Don't stop.
It happens at the very highest echelons of voiceover, because you can land a promo gig that can pay all your bills and your mortgage for you, no problem.
Until it's gone.
You can have that for 8 years, and then one day, they're going a different direction, it's gone.
Yep.
So, you know, it happens to everybody, even at the very top.
Yeah. Ed, way down there, your thoughts?
One thing that somebody pointed out to me, and you talk about cyclic, there's also seasonal. If you pay attention to your clients and when you get the work, as you go along and you pick up more clients, and CRM software, customer relationship software, can help. And you will begin to learn when the work for what clients comes in, and you can try to fill the void with other clients in the same industry. So if you get your auto work that comes in twice a year or on major holidays, then you can look for other seasonal work that occurs at other times. There's the summer season and the fall season and the winter season. And as you go along, you can sort of even out those hills and valleys.
And another one to keep clients, always, it's so simple, but people sometimes forget. Always thank those nice clients. You know, I don't send out gifts because a lot of my clients are international. It costs me a blimmin' fortune. But I always write, I always handwrite cards, always, just to say thank you. It was so great working with you, blah, 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 the usual. And the amount of great feedback I've had just from taking the time to handwrite a card gets more, you know, good feedback than anything else I can imagine. And that's how I keep my clients. Just give them that little nice personal touch.
Absolutely.
It works for me.
Yep. It's an interesting business, but I think most people got to understand, especially people starting off, it's a business, and you have to be a business person to do it. The voice acting is the stuff you work on every day, but you got to work on being a business person every day at the same time. Gosh, I wish Howard's microphone would work. This is two times we've done this. He's stayed up late for us and nothing yet.
Still me too. I don't want to be the only Brit.
We could always get him to share his screen and then we could direct him.
That's true. Anyway.
That's why I was laughing. I feel bad. I know this is the second time I've been on here with him and he's staying up late.
I know. Same here.
Yeah. We had a good look at his room though. Oh, jeez.
3:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Yep. 8 hours.
Yeah. GMT minus 7 out here in California.
I think we owe Howard something. We got to figure out a way to say thanks for to help him out.
Yeah, I think we'll send him some swag.
We'll get him up to speed one of these days. We have to do a special.
What's he saying here? It's good to listen. Okay, it's important to listen. I think it's one of the most important skills a voice actor can learn, especially if you're, I have this weird problem. I can't really see and listen at the same time. I mean, I can, but I find that if I'm listening to somebody and there's something else going on around me, I get distracted easily. And I will usually close my eyes and they'll go, am I putting you to sleep? No, I'm listening to every word you're saying. It's important to try and develop whatever listening skills you have. I think it's something that will benefit any voice actor greatly. So Howard, you're doing the right thing there. We appreciate that. Any other thoughts? Any other questions for tonight?
Let's do another spot real quick and we'll finish up. We'll wrap up the questions.
We'll wrap it up into a nice tight little bow. So we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away. We'll finish it up in just a minute.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. I want to thank a new sponsor of the show that's been with us for the last month or so, and that is Source Elements. And rather than, rake over the same old copy each week and tell you stuff you already know about Source Connect and Source Elements, we thought we'd kind of feature different parts of the software. And this is one that might get a little heady. I'm going to try to skim through these notes because they get a little bit geeky, thanks to Robert at Source Elements, who's a major geek. He really, really knows his stuff when it comes to audio and recording. So with Source Connect, this software lets you connect with other studios. But with Source Connect 3.8, the newest version, even in the standard version, you now have what's called definable buffers. What the heck does that mean? Basically, It means you can control exactly how much latency there is. That's the delay between when you speak and the person responds and their voice comes back. Long delays in latency and big buffers are what make conversation really difficult. Imagine the cell phone connection from hell, where you're stepping on each other constantly. So with Source Connect Standard 3.8, this used to only be a pro thing, you can now actually define the buffers. So if you are connected to a studio and both of you have really great connection quality, you can lower the buffers really, really low. You can go as low as about 10 milliseconds. So that means the round trip between you and the other end is 20 milliseconds. And that's like, that's a really, really, really quick round trip. So Source Connect Standard and Pro are capable of really, really low latency. A lot of people may not know that. There's some other systems out there are touted for their low latency, but such as IPDTL and Source Connect Now, Audio TX. But they want you to know that if you really want low latency, it is absolutely possible to do that. It's only possible when you have great internet connection quality. And that's exactly the same on any other platform. If the connection quality is poor, the latency will have to adjust and get longer. Things like Source Connect Now and IPDTL, the latency will vary. It will actually stretch it out and shrink it based on the connection. And that can really screw up a session if the syncing and the timing goes out of whack. So it's all about stability versus latency. And you have that control now with Source Connect Standard. You don't have to make that big step up to Source Connect Pro. So that's a little bit of information, a little back-end information about Source Connect for some of you that may or may not be using it and are curious about that latency question. And if you want to know more about them, go over, check them out at sourceelements.com. Get a demo, give it a shot, and tell them that you heard about it over here at VOBS.
All righty. Well, I think that's... I think that's going to wrap it up into a nice tight little ball there and then for tonight. And I think our general tradition to do here is to go around the horn and give everybody a chance to do one more chance to say what's on their mind, and then we can go on with the rest of our lives and we can like eat dinner here in Southern California. Anyway, so why don't we start off? Who do we have in here? Let's go around from upper left to upper right here. Bill Graff, you go first there.
First off, thank you for the invitation. It's been a pleasure and it's been a little bit of fun. And mostly I want to thank you, as far as this goes, for turning me on to Zoom. I had not heard of Zoom before. And so I went to the website to sign up. And this seems like it might be a wonderful vehicle. My wife does some e-learning, gives lessons, etc. And so thanks for making me aware of that particular program. And it seems that the sound is terrific on my what I'm hearing sounds terrific, and the video is gorgeous. Now, if this is standard for them, it could be a great aid to her and to some of the teaching that I do. So thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. All righty, Bill Graff joining us from Williamsville, New York. Let's see here. Scott, your turn.
I really have nothing else to offer. Unless you're going to Uncle Roy's barbecue this weekend. Don't show up if you're sick, okay? Let's not take out half the voiceover industry. That's a thought. Good point.
Or those of us who are competitive, go.
Yeah.
All righty. Gosh, I wish Howard's microphone would work. You're welcome. Thank you so much. Ed Waldorf.
Oh, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it as always. I wish I could have contributed more, but didn't really have that much for you. George, are you considered to be a Source Connect source? In other words, are you a go-to guy to find out about Source Connect?
Is he ever?
Yeah. I've been working with the Source Connect team for a really long time. And so I've been pretty knowledgeable about it. And because of my relationship with them, I know a lot about what's going on behind the scenes a little bit. So that can help.
But it wouldn't be preying on your good graces. I mean, you're willing to take some time.
Yeah, I've got a FAQ on my website about it, and you can shoot questions to me, of course, about it at george.widom@edgestudio.com. We also happen to be a dealer for Source Connect as well, so you can buy it directly from us. You get a little extra help in hand setting it up if you buy it through us.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
All righty. I like the mustache on the stuff there. That's cool. Rajani, how are you? What's your thoughts here on our final go round?
Honestly, this was awesome. This was awesome. This was so much fun. Thank you for the invite. I'm glad that I could do it. And thank you for answering my questions. I'm still a newbie to VoiceOver. So just hoping to learn a lot and, you know, jump right in.
All right. Well, you had the guts to get on here. That's half the battle. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All righty. Shelly Evelino.
Well, hello. As always, guys, it's totally fun every time I work with you guys. Not a lot else I can say. Thanks for putting up with my stupid quirkiness and butting in and all the rest of it.
That's why you're here.
You're used to me by now, so thank you. I love the show as always, and I hope I'm always going to be a part of it. So,
well,
thanks for having me.
We do as well. All righty. Well, that's pretty much going to wrap it up for us tonight. And thanks, of course, to all our guests for our first fan roundtable here on VoiceOver.
Miss Audi.
And Larry.
Oh, did I miss Audi?
And Larry.
And Larry? They were hiding down there because you changed the view on here. And I forgot who was there.
You can always scroll across the top, too, and see who else is in there.
That's also true. This is, you know, so we're doing something new here. I'm still trying to get used to it here.
It's hard, right? Because Dan and I, in essence, are using the same computer.
And the same mouse.
That's challenging. It's fun, though.
No, I'm taking the cursor. I'm taking the cursor. Larry, thanks so much for being here.
Let Audi go first. She's the lady.
Okay. Audi, are you?
I don't know. I think a couple of people would disagree with that remark, but I'll take it. really flattered to have been invited. I know you announced it on a previous show, but when I got the email, I was so excited. You guys are getting bigger and better every episode. So I just want to say thanks for giving the community such great education, giving us a chance to meet the faces behind the voices and really give us the lowdown and the digs on not just equipment, but also on everything with the behind the scenes on what goes on with the recordings and, you know, how to improve our business, how to improve ourselves. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. And Audie has volunteered to be a floor manager one night. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, we're going to need floor managers when George and I are together here, because we're just sort of like reaching in the dark. We don't know what the heck we're doing. Somebody else would help a whole lot. So
that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, if you're here, you'll
give
let us
me
know.
A call. I'll put you on the list.
Yeah, Larry's in charge of that. So Larry, yeah,
awesome. I got control of the Google Doc.
Awesome.
Very fun. Very fun.
Ooh, me
very
too. Fun.
Okay. Larry, you get the last word.
Gentlemen, as you know, I am always grateful for the opportunity to contribute. I'm always grateful to you two because modern technology is an amazing thing. My phone just rang from Skype, and I have a friend from my VO associate from Lima, Peru on. Say hello.
Hello, how are you? No.
Buenos dias.
So anyway, thank you for all that you've taught me so I actually know how to do all this. And it was really a pleasure tonight. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of the roundtable. And have a great week. Enjoy the weather, George. Hopefully it won't get too bad.
George, hey, is George there? There he is. Okay. All righty. Well, what's coming up here on the VoiceOver Body Shop?
I'll be back next week.
Yes, you'll be back. I'll be here.
So I'll be back next week and flying back just in time for Columbus Day and our Chuck and Stacy from VO Buzz Weekly show when they're going to be coming into Stan studio live. And that's going to be our first time having them on the show in our new studio. So
yeah. Wonder if they'll bring an entourage with them.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Could be interesting.
And I think we're looking for live audience members for that. So I don't know how we're casting that quote unquote, but I think if you want to be there live, it doesn't hurt to email the guys at VOBS.TV.
Yeah, and we'll determine. We can fit about 8 people in here. I think it's probably
comfortably.
Yeah, comfortably. And cool too, because it's nice and air conditioned in here. October 19th, Christina Milizia, president and voiceover coach for Global Voice Academy. She'll be here in LA and she'll be here in our studio, and she's a great coach. So we should be able to have some fun with her and see what goes on with that. And then on October 26th, you don't want to miss this one either, because the Hulu guy, Dave Fennoy, will be here. And he's always, I mean, aside from being a great voice actor and a great voice, he's a really nice guy, and he's really committed to, helping our industry be a better place. And I'm looking forward to having him here in our studio.
Yeah, and he's going to have some awesome stories from the trip that he's on right now with our guest who will be following him up, Adam Harrington. They're both overseas. I think they've been in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So they're going to have some incredible stories to share with us from that trip. So that's
they're in Bahrain.
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 Okay. Not one of the worst places in the Middle East.
No, hopefully not.
No, it's actually a pretty nice place from what I hear. All righty. Well, let's see. What else? Well, we need to thank our donors of the week. I can actually read off the donors of the week this week.
Because cool, man.
I can see them. Let's see here. We've got, I was able to see it before, but now I can't see them. Okay, here. We know Dave Smith. Thank you so much. Jeff Chambers, who has been on the show tonight. Thank you, Jeff. We really appreciate it.
Advanced Events.
And who is the other one there? I can't quite see that.
Amy Sorensi.
And, well, of course, Amy Sorensi. We appreciate all her support every week. And, of course, Eric Aragone.
That's right.
And anybody else.
For all those contributions.
Yeah. And if you want to donate to the show and you're on our website watching the show, which you probably are, right above our gorgeous heads is the donate button, and we really appreciate it. It helps defer the cost of doing this entire show and makes us upgrade it. Wait till you see the upgrades we've done. Now we have
a
teleprompter.
Yeah, we're not slowing down.
No, we have a teleprompter now. This is going to be really cool, because I'll be able to look right in the camera and read this stuff as opposed to make it up. So
all this practice we've had BSing the show all this time, and now you're going to make us read off a teleprompter?
Well, I'll still ad lib around it. It'll help a little bit. Okay, what else we got here? Thanks. Let's see. Show logs. I wonder what Jack's going to do with all this stuff.
Good luck, Jack.
Yeah. Jack Colia.
Just keep it simple, man. Summarize it.
Yeah. The show logs, very useful if you're watching on YouTube. The podcast version is on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and...
It is on our website.
Oh, it's on the website now, too.
Yeah, bobs.tv, upper right-hand corner. There's a button that says podcast.
Outstanding. You can listen in the car. If you're, driving between Vegas and L.A. or, Louisiana and Chicago.
Washing the dishes, changing the carburetor on your 1949 T-Bird. Wait, is there such a thing as a 49 T-Bird? No.
Never mind. You'll be spending a while doing
T-Bird.
It.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe 50 was the first year.
50 T-Bird, thank you.
I think.
I was talking about the prototype, sorry.
All righty. Of course, thank our sponsors, Harlan Hogan at VoiceOverEssentials.com, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio, your employers, and Source Elements, the wonderful folks who bring us Source Connect, and, of course, Rehearsal App from David H. Lawrence, the 17th. I can't wait to try that. I think I'm going to find need for it in the near future, so we'll check that out. I'd like to thank our wives. Marcy, a little under the weather tonight, so it's good we didn't have people here.
It worked out well. And my wife, too, I'd like to thank profusely, because I will be out of town for 10 full days, so she will be watching Ella that whole time on her own. So thank you so much, Amy, for being able to do that.
Yeah, it's all part of being a parent. It's apparent that you're
apparently
a parent. Apparently, yes. Kathy Curtin, our fantastic producer, for getting all these fabulous guests that we've had on the last few weeks. And Jack DeGolia for the show notes, and Anthony Gettig for monitoring the chat room. And, of course, Shelley, when she fills in, when Anthony is busy, busy, busy and can't join us that night. And we appreciate that, Shelley. And, of course, let's see, Lee Pinney for being Lee Pinney. But he's also helping with the podcast. Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. And thanks again to all of our guests who were with us with all their great questions and thoughts. And I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver Body Shop, or VOBS. All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Monday night with Chuck and Stacy. Ought to be fun. Have a good week.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.